Oh.
Okay. Yeah. I know how that is. My husband is also he works for his dad.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same sort of thing where he feels guilty about taking off and this. And I'm like, there's only two people in the office. You don't have to work so much. But no, so thanks. So how this sort of started is I do some research at our, I don't know if you're familiar a lot with the DeKalb History Center. Mm-hmm. We're in the old courthouse.
I know where that is. I have seen the building many times.
Yeah.
I never went in.
Well, next time you're welcome. There's we have an archives and library. And if you don't mind, it might be easier for, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So we can hear. So we have a repository and library and archives. And I sort of started to do a lot of research during, you know, the past year and a half when we haven't had a lot of public programs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my other things that I've started to really love during quarantine is, you know, Chinese and learning food and
mm-hmm.
just like, I've really fallen in love with it. And mm-hmm. so I had this quest to find one of the oldest Chinese restaurants in Atlanta.
Okay.
And I was starting to discover that there was restaurants in the 20s in downtown.
Yes.
And I was like, that's crazy.
I know the family, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is it which?
Wang's place, yeah.
Yeah.
His grandson later on worked for me. That's how I learned.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, but then I was like, I have to find it in DeKalb County.
Right.
Because we're at DeKalb.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me, sorry.
Yeah, go. I need a, you have to tell me about chair. Remove it. Sorry.
No, it's okay. And so I was like, I have to find DeKalb County.
Wow.
And that led me to, you know, city directories and newspapers. Uh-huh. And I came across your restaurant and then found, you know, the history on your website. And I was also sort of, mind was blown at like the amount of history that you have listed and on your website.
Yes.
And I hope more people read it. And I wanted to record it.
Okay.
And also part is, you know, our collection for so long has been focused on, you know, old white men history. And part of our goal is to really expand some of the other collections that we have, including Hispanic collections
right.
and Asian collections.
Right.
There's so much of that is into DeKalb. So
great.
That has led me to you. And just wanted to hear a little bit about your story and this restaurant. And then eventually I want to put together sort of like a compiled list of generally some of the larger restaurants that have been around for a while. But love to share more of your story and this restaurant sort of as its own separate piece.
Okay.
If that's right.
Yeah. Actually, the website that hit it took me almost a year to write it, to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since my grandfather, who the one taught me how to cook,
mm-hmm.
I tried. I need to do something for the family.
Yeah.
And right before that, about 3, maybe 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
Ancient City government official approached me.
Mm-hmm.
Want to do the Pinko history too.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my grandfather passed away, and I started trying to get some information, pictures
mm-hmm.
like that. He even offered me a picture of a Ping Ho, 1930s.
Yeah. You said that was in Incheon?
Incheon. At that time, during 60s, 70s, it was the biggest restaurant in that city.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit like 1,200 people one time.
Oh, wow.
So all the major gathering pretty much is happening at Ping Ho.
Mm-hmm.
But start talking to my grandfather. He went to Korea. I think he was under 20,
mm-hmm.
16, 17. And then he opened his first Ping Ho like early 20.
Mm-hmm.
But that Ping Ho is not like debuted 3, 4, one time. It's like gradually.
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant is about not that wide, but it's about one block long. You know, because it
narrows,
adding up.
Okay.
That's what happened. And he
actually. Timing was right. Chinese food was popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the most popular dishes is called jjajangmyeon.
Yeah, I've that's the black bean.
Black noodle,
yeah. Yeah, black bean noodle.
So that's almost like American,
mm-hmm.
like a spaghetti for American.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's not Korean food, but every single Korean loves it.
Yeah. I had read a little bit about specifically Korean Chinese
mm-hmm.
food,
mm-hmm.
and what I understand is it's not so much of a fusion as its own genre of food. Is that?
Yep. Yeah, at that time, the 1930, 1940, up until the Korean War, Korea is kind of very poor.
Mm-hmm.
And those noodle dishes made for the Chinese labor at the port.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, the Korean made their own version of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's much darker and not as much of original the bean paste anymore,
mm-hmm.
but sweeter,
mm-hmm.
more saucier than what we have, what ours is.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, depending on who you're asking, just like spaghetti in America, is it one better than another?
And I'm sure every family has their own.
Yes,
every
exactly.
There's no recipe. Everyone's family makes the best.
If you go to northern China, Shandong province, every family has their own
yeah.
way.
Mm-hmm.
It's very stable. For northern Chinese, we eat more noodle than rice
mm-hmm.
because the weather availability.
And there's more dumplings too.
Oh, dumplings.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how we always making fun. The reason northern Chinese are taller than the southerner because we eat portion wise we eat bigger.
Yeah.
So all the famous general. Pretty mm-hmm. much are from north,
mm-hmm.
not a politician from the south. That's what we say, but it's not a true statement, but that's this is making fun of each other.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
So, another thing I was hearing about so much of the, how do you pronounce it, the jjajangmyeon?
Chinese with jjajangmyeon.
Jjajangmyeon.
But Korean with jjajangmyeon.
Jjajangmyeon.
Yeah.
Is that, for so many, it's like a bowl of comfort food?
Yes, just like I said, just like spaghetti for Americans.
Yeah, and so why is that? Like, why are, even today, if so many people eat a bowl today, or like they come here and they eat it, and it just brings them home.
Yes, back in the old day, on your birthday, Chinese
mm-hmm.
tradition, on your birthday, we have to eat noodle. Korean usually eat the seaweed soup.
Mm-hmm.
But during the 70s, 80s especially, on the graduation, on the birthday, you go to Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And then the jjajangmyeon is the most inexpensive dishes there.
Yeah.
I mean, at that time, the economy is not that great.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it cost 50 yuan, which is about 25 cents, 30
mm-hmm.
cents. Almost like a chop suey.
Yeah.
Doing 70.
Which I'm still trying to figure out exactly what chop suey.
Chop suey, literally translating
yeah.
the mixture of leftover.
Yeah.
There's no such dishes in
that's,
China.
That's what I, yeah.
It's, there's a lot of story.
Right, yeah.
One of them I heard is during the state dinner in San Francisco, they, at the round table dinner,
mm-hmm.
and every dish they bring, the American guests, they keep polish off. So the host saying, oh, we didn't serve enough, but the kitchen ran the food. They say, well, they don't have no more, so put them together. What's the left
mm-hmm.
of the ingredient? Make the sauce.
Yeah. So that was the other thing. In all these newspaper articles and advertisements in the 70s, it was all, you know, and even like at the grocery store, you can now buy chop suey
yeah.
and make it at home.
Chop suey, it's just mixed vegetable with some meat.
Yeah.
There's no bean sprout to make
yeah.
it crunchy over some crispy noodle. But there is one similar called chow mein.
Mm-hmm.
Chow mein, but depending on who you're talking to again, chow mein literally means stir-fried noodle.
You can put anything.
That's why later on become lo mein, the soft noodle.
Okay.
And then there's also one called pan-fried noodle.
Mm-hmm.
Pan-fried noodle is very similar to the chow mein. except we use the egg noodle, the pan fryer, like a pancake, and then pour the meat and vegetable, and in a, usually in brown sauce over on the crispy noodle. You know, Chinese restaurant in America, originally they serve the Chinese during the building the railroad back in what?
The 1850s.
Like that. And first cuisine introduced to American is Cantonese, because that's the first door open in China to Westerners too at the same time.
What's the big difference with Cantonese versus, say, like Mandarin?
Southern Chinese food, Cantonese, if you say, they have their own version of seafood, the meat, of course. Mainly, their food is sweeter, softer compared to southern, northern Chinese. I'm from Shandong province. Ours would be the taste we in a drier form, not like wine speaking, more like we don't use as much sugar, but we use more bean paste. We do more quick stir fry, and dumpling for southerner more like a snack dessert, but for northern Chinese it would be like a main staple.
Is there more like steamed with Cantonese and?
We all steamed. The cooking form pretty much same. Typical example would be like sweet and sour pork. If you southern sweet. Cantonese sweet and sour pork, you see more like a red, this brown sauce. But if you go to northern China, the Shandong province, the sweet and sour, we don't use any the red. The red sauce is coming from the ketchup. Ketchup is the one the Chinese adopt at the most. But I also read somewhere that ketchup is made from China. Cab means tomato, eggplant, chop means extra. I don't know how true that is, okay? That
sounds good.
Yeah, but anyway. So that's one of the main differences. And then so this food reintroduced to American, like sweet and sour pork, egg foo young. You know, Chinese food at that time is kind of exotic, adventurous. Like during 70, if you go to a Chinese restaurant, order dinner for two, Mongolian beef, sweet and sour pork, sizzling rice soup.
Maybe a Polynesian flair.
Yes. Yeah, with flaming volcano, a zombie.
Oh my gosh, I love it. One of my favorite places is Trader Vic's.
Yes.
It's such a interesting, but it seems very kind of this classic, like 70s, but this mixture and Polynesian and.
Before this restaurant, we remodel it, it's Polynesian.
I saw that it was Maikai.
Maikai. That's what we bought the restaurant from. Okay. I think 1979.
So, since we're talking about right then when you remodeled it, I also noticed that at first some of the things that Ping Ho said they're Mandarin. So, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Mandarin is a very broad term. How do I try to make it simpler? In general speaking, there's eight different type of cuisine in China. Northerner is main based on the Shandong province, which is where our family coming from. Mandarin, you can say that's Northern Chinese. It's not really particular province. It's, you can consider it as northerner. Because before, I think it has something to do with Manchuria took over the China, become Qing Dynasty. So they collect a lot of well-known dishes, become part of the Man people's dishes. So they call Manchuria.
So then saying that the restaurant was Mandarin at the time, that was a conscious choice
We're a northerner. Okay. At that time, not much northern Chinese restaurant in Atlanta. You know, most of the places doing sweet sour pork, egg foo young, Cantonese.
Notice there's a few Sichuan
maybe.
Yes, but at that time, it's not a true Sichuan.
It's just, yeah, I can see.
not like today.
No. Oh, my God. It's one of my other favorites.
Yeah. So
the favorites.
I use 5 times more dry pepper than 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And the customer gets a much more sophisticated on food now. Like I said, used to be dinner for two. It's very adventurous 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Now they wanna be numbing chicken.
the fish soup. Oh my gosh, that one's
broth.
That one's also
yeah,
my favorite.
Yeah, all that in here. And then, one of my popular dishes, Shandong chicken with ginger and garlic. I changed it 3 times actually. Originally it was Mandarin chicken, made it much sweeter to cater to American taste. And later on, and that chicken has bone in there, so I took the bone off. I prepared with chicken breast. Later on, I think my customer is ready for what we can do. So we used the dark meat, the thigh part, which now I changed the name to the Shandong chicken. It's the most popular chicken here. Yeah, and I made it much spicier than 20 years ago.
So when you first were cooking 20 years ago, were any of the jianjianmian on the menu then?
Yes. At that time, I hate to say it, I mostly catered to Asian customer. At that time, Decatur has I think it's Korean Catholic Church in Decatur. They moved to Gwinnett.
Okay, yeah.
At that time, every Sunday, we have more Korean customer than any other kind of customer. So at that time, they ordered my jjajangmyeon and jjampong, the spicy noodle soup, and sweet and sour beef, and gampunggi. Gampunggi means the chicken with ginger and garlic. That was amazing, too. Those are the 80% of the dishes. And later on, the church moved to Gwinnett. 10 or 15 years ago, I lost a lot of customer. And then when Emory starting, I have a lot of Chinese students. So now I start get the real menu out.
Yeah. So I noticed that there's 2 menus.
Yes. Not after the COVID-19, I combined one simple menu. So I have 3 languages on there.
Okay. What's the, is the other one Spanish?
Korean.
Korean?
Yeah.
Okay, Korean. So you also spent some time in Costa Rica?
Yes, 2 years.
2 years?
That's why my food sometimes I have a little craziness.
Does a banana come in there every now and then?
No, like one of my favorite sauces is Costa Rica, the national sauce, Lizano. Have you heard that? Have you heard
Probably,
it?
Maybe. I've been to Costa Rica once and maybe had it. But
On the fry things, can't be better sauce than that, but I add a little spices to it, and another favorite thing to eat is I like sashimi, and I love to use the mahi mahi to make ceviche with it. And they use their weight, and then they use a lot of cilantro and garlic, so that kind of similar to
it is Chinese. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Except the acid part, we don't use the fruit as for the acid. We use more rice vinegar.
Okay. Yeah. So your family moved from Korea to
Costa Rica. And then when I finished high school, I came to America by myself, Sunnyvale, California. I spent about 10 months. And my uncle is over here to get ready to open a restaurant. And then I want to go to Georgia Tech. So I come over here. At that time, at 85, we only had 2 lanes. It's the old airport. You go in the airport so easy. It only takes, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
And then I saw a great opportunity. I saw all this. Actually, the restaurant that I work, before my uncle's open, on a weekend, and then I still go to school. I said, "Oh my God, this is so easy." I mean, because I learned to cook when I was little for fun.
Yeah.
And I realized people, the stove, they don't stir fry much. because they use a wok that is not a jet burner. The flame going so straight, it's not shooting it. So to do a Mongolian beef, almost impossible. So we had to get our own. We had to go to New York to get
the big butane 900.
Yeah, have the
thousand BTUs.
So in other words, I'd be able to bring you a Mongolian beef to cook within like a minute and a half at most.
Yeah.
When the stove is totally hot. That's the biggest difference, Northerner. We don't do slow cooking that much. I mean, there is some dishes like that, but those most well known we call bao. It's a quick stir fry in high heat.
Is the essence from the wok, is that wafe or the term? Isn't there a term for like the essence of the wok?
Oh, guo qi.
Guo qi?
Guo qi means, guo means wok. Qi means energy, also means the heat. Actually, kind of like the burning smell of the side of the wok to bring in the meat. But so if your wok is not that hot on the surrounding, you want to get that.
You certainly can't get it from a wok that you pick up at Target either.
That's why at my home, I put my stove on my deck, a portable one.
Yeah.
Because even you put a stove in your home, then your home gonna smoke alarm, gonna alarm every day. That's why we put them outside. I have a portable stove to cook.
We're redoing our back deck, and we have a little outdoor kitchen that we're doing. My husband has a pizza oven. I told him, I was like, can I do a wok situation? He's like, we have a turkey fryer, so we might try with the turkey fryer, butane, and then...
If you use the turkey fryer, if you buy a converter, not a converter, to reduce the flame, like this, the flame will shoot in the center. The reason the wok food versus other saute pan, other method of cooking, we only heat the bottom of it, not right here.
Yeah.
That's why if you keep stir fry, the heavier goes on the bottom, which is the meat, the vegetable, and the sauce is on the side, and you burn some, reduce some. So, you know, a lot of people think, oh, Chinese food are greasy. Yes, but it's not in your food. If you quick stir fry it, if you see my filter, we clean every week, it's full of smoke and grease, but it's not in your dishes.
Yeah.
And then another thing is, we eat with chopstick. We don't scoop the sauce over the rice. So we pick up the meat and vegetable, the oil and the sauce are still on the plate. That's another custom difference. It's not a right or wrong thing, that's how we eat. I don't know what else to say.
So where were you getting all of your ingredients and when you first were
starting? Beginning was hard.
Yeah.
For example, even the Sichuan chili whole pepper, there is not available. And then sea cucumber dry, you have to order from California, Los Angeles, to bring it over here. But ours, we brought ourselves from Korea. At that time, we have a lot of Asian customer. So we do a lot of Chinese weddings. So we had to, like, if we need a sea cucumber, then we have to get the one from Yellow Sea, that type, not the one from Seattle, Washington.
So your customers would bring some of the ingredients early on?
No, we bring ourselves.
Yeah,
we bring ourselves. And the canned food, like a bamboo shoot, baby corn, straw mushroom. Oh, those things are much more expensive than today. Now it's much more available, except right now. Right now, it's totally different story. All the canned food increased about 30% because the chain is broken. And Sichuan peppercorn, now it's much more available. Back in the old day, you have to get a small package of airmail over here. And then the... Yes, customer had to check what they don't, because they don't really get it. And ask for translation. Now I know how to say it, but back in the old day, you can't have peppers. They crushed it.
Yeah.
So a
And then it goes numbing, and they're like, what's happening?
So I tell my customer when I do the numbing part, especially when you taste it in the numbing pepper, if you drink something cold, you get this carbonation effect.
Yeah. So I think it must be such a shift, because now you can go up to the Kroger around the corner, and there's Langomar on the count, and it's sold out, because now everyone is getting really into it. Yes. So it must be such a huge, interesting shift between in the beginning and now. As you said, peppers, you know, you're putting 10 times more peppers now. So can you tell a little bit about that shift between in the beginning to now, seeing so much of maybe food that you grew up with or sort of know, and that's been insider food that's now...
Now, actually, for restaurant to use, still not that available.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Atlanta. For the peppercorn or a lot of those dry spices, you still have to special order.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that easily available to even the wholesaler. But right now, much more people request it, but most of the restaurant, they have to order mail order through from China.
Mm-hmm.
Or for the cost reason too. What's available in local grocery store, we probably don't use. But again, at the same time, the more the customer know, mm-hmm. so we more towards those more exotic dishes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like 30 years ago, you know, to stir fry flank steak with green onion over the rice noodle. I even tell my younger customer that's a styrofoam.
Mm-hmm.
Ingredients definitely available much better, and then the customer definitely get much more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
They even ask for, so that make me more exciting.
Yeah.
To cook more better, fun food for everybody.
Where do you see your food going in the next 10 years or 20 years?
Well, I think people now go towards more healthier.
Mm-hmm.
More environment correct,
mm-hmm.
that type thing. You know, I have a lot of customers ask for, you know, like a vegan, vegetarian. I even made a monk version of a firecracker beef for one particular family all the time. People definitely ask for much more healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like brown rice, they want I use their steam, right? They want a brown mm-hmm. rice to cook the fried rice. And a lot of customers order their favorite General Tso chicken, but they want a side order of a steamed asparagus or string bean.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's definitely. But I'm very impressed that customers are much more want to try things mm-hmm. than I think they don't know, so they don't try the back mm-hmm. in the day. But now they. And then, well, because of media, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely media helps a lot. Let them see. And then, like my dumpling, my baozi, you know, the
mm-hmm.
people ask for it. Back in the old day, I just let people try it, except a few regular customers they know. But now they ask for it.
Do you sell them frozen to go?
The packaging is not that good. I don't do that good job. I don't think I have that technology. If you just freeze them, if you're gonna use next week, it's fine. But if you're not airtight mm-hmm. sealed, it won't work. Especially what we call dead dough. What I mean, like a steamed dumpling. Mm-hmm. You use hot water to make a dough. That would become real tough. But the one that you use warm water was yeast, the one that raised, mm-hmm. kind of like a soft, that'd be okay.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of Chinese Amherst students, this is just freeze it so I don't have to come here to pick it up so they can steam it later mm-hmm. themselves. I do that too. Some of the students live across the street a couple of times.
Yeah.
I kind of envy them, yeah.
Yeah. So you started here. First learn here at this restaurant initially, or with your uncles?
You mean the cooking part?
Cooking, yeah.
Well, I learned cooking actually from my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
When Ping Hills opened, he's here too. And he come from Korea, from Taiwan. Later on, he went to Taiwan. When we opened, my uncle's here, several of my family is here to help to start it. At that time, it's much easier to find help too.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, there's a lot of, a lot of refugees from Indochina, like from Vietnam, Cambodia. Mm-hmm. The Chinese people, overseas Chinese that live in Vietnam, those are the big help in the labor market for the Chinese restaurant, for Asian restaurant, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the new immigrants don't come as much as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So the labor market is very, very tough.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, the shortage is incredible.
Yeah.
And then especially in Georgia, the transport system is not as good as New York
mm-hmm.
or San Francisco. So new immigrants that don't drive kind of afraid to come.
Yeah.
And then China economy is getting a little better. The dollar is not as attractive as mm-hmm. 20 years ago, I'd say.
Yeah. So there was starting to be this boom, it seems like, of Chinese restaurants in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like, though, still being, I mean, there's still tons of Southern and barbecue, and was it, I mean, other than being seen as exotic, was it difficult being one of the few Chinese restaurants in the area at the time?
I won't say, it's a little hard. One of the reasons hard is my communication skill.
Mm-hmm.
How do tell people what that is, you know? And then, so a lot of time we are afraid to go customer out, want extra spicy. Oh, you can't eat spicy, just a little spicy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have the, we don't, if I let them go, let them try it, they probably already tried it. Well, there gotta be some issues, but
mm-hmm.
that's part of the thing. But like today, if a customer wanted extra spicy, I am putting spicy. I don't even question them
yeah.
anymore. I guess this is timing. At that time, we all think, oh, Americans don't eat spicy. Just like it's Northern Chinese, we think Southern Chinese don't eat spicy. People from Central Middle
mm-hmm.
West eat spicy. This is kind of like a preset tone already. So that part is hard communication. And when I do another big thing is when we do the fried rice, we don't add a soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Cantonese restaurants before us, they all have had a soy sauce in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that make hard later on. As if you want it, ask for it, I'm happy to do it. But I normally
mm-hmm.
I don't
yeah.
want it to add a soy sauce. There's been a lot of misunderstanding for a while at the beginning. But
mm-hmm.
again, at that time I was already 20.
Yeah. Was there a lot of community support?
Oh, yes. Definitely. I have a lot of Chinese customer, a Korean customer around. And this area is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Because of CDC and Emory.
Okay, yeah.
They take ethnic food much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, so I remember on one snow day,
mm-hmm.
this Friday, second year when we opened, the road was too slippery, so people just come in to have a drink until the snow stops.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody go home. 11 o'clock, people still here. Food,
yeah.
or food customer. Nobody can drive.
Yeah.
I think it was 1980 or 81. I can't remember. So one of the customer's boyfriend had a tow truck.
Mm-hmm.
take each one of everybody home until like 1 or 2 o'clock. I'm the last one.
Everyone was well fed, I guess, though.
Well, they have a drink, and then we just have egg roll. Once it stopped, 5, 6, 7, 2, 11.
Yeah.
Nobody made it. That was. Well, definitely a community. Yeah, I talking about community. I can tell this. When I got married, my wife don't have the green card. Mm-hmm. She can marry a tourist visa. So immigration asked for the character witness. So I asked my customer, sure. So that including the Cape County judges, Emory president.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to the interview, I show them, I don't think this interview is necessary. I said, nope. I feel so good talking about community support.
Yeah. Okay.
So I feel real good about it.
So how did your family find Decatur?
This restaurant happened to be on sale, I guess.
Yeah.
And then one of the Chinese family told me about it. This is a good area because of the nearby city, Samui.
Mm-hmm.
People much more can accept ethnic people easier.
Mm-hmm.
You have a less tough time,
mm-hmm,
than the other places. And then at that time, we're living North Lake area, so. And that's much late, yeah. Later on, of course, my kid went to Fernbank School.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought a house behind here. So I lived that house almost 20-some years.
Mm-hmm.
This area, I like it. That's seriously. You don't, it's not like other. This people are much nicer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't move around that much. A mm-hmm. lot of people stay here much longer.
Yeah.
But lately they move out a lot because, I don't know, indicator housing price,
mm-hmm,
whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ever since we do start doing delivery business, a lot of better too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's 41 years now.
So, time flies.
Yep.
So I noticed that also when older restaurants, Athens Pizza,
yes,
has been for a while,
yes,
and then up the road, Chinese or Golden Buddha.
Yes, they are.
They're both
they're
have
older
been...
than we are. Athens Pizza used to be over there.
Okay.
First
yeah.
meeting that way. After they moved, they had a fire, and they moved up. They bought a land over there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they the family every Sunday. Athens Pizza family every Sunday.
Yeah, and Golden Buddha has been here just a few years before this
one
too.
Yes, yes, yes. There's a few more out there. I'll close them.
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of finding, a lot of them, but...
Yeah, there is. I remember it used to be where the Publix right now, there used to be a hot dog place.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go there to eat the hot dog. I remember that. And then I missed a restaurant called Billy's, mm-hmm, on Scott Boulevard. I used to go there to eat drink a beer with oyster. I missed that. Farmer Market has been around for a long time.
That has too. So did that open up so many options for your food and?
That helped. Oh, that place definitely helps. That fresh vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
I can get a fresh golfer snapper, fresh sea scallop.
Mm-hmm.
I was very very happy with that one. That place. That made it very easy for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like we go there almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible.
Is that where you source most of your fish today, or?
No, not today. Today you have a much better mm-hmm. choice. The seafood has a lot of more choice, and farmers markets don't cater as much as like a restaurant.
Yeah.
Not like used to be. Used to be they have. I don't know how to say this. They used to have a lot of Asian people work there.
Mm-hmm.
so they cannot know what we want. Now we a lot of suppliers in Gwinnett mm-hmm. or some of those like wholesale place, they have yeah. much more choice. And then they deliver too, so we don't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's another convenience.
Was there any like thinking about mixing some southern ingredients or like when you're talking about chili peppers? I mean, I guess there's probably, you know, local chilies that you could use at the time when you couldn't get
mm-hmm.
Chinese ingredient peppers.
Yep. Try to use jalapeno, serrano. Serrano's my favorite thing. Yeah. I like spicy food.
Me too.
That definitely. Oh, I do. You know, like a collard green.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese love that kind of vegetable. We, you know, if we translate word to word, we call wax vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
The cleanser, when you eat something heavy, that's the mm-hmm. best thing there is. We use that when we do the sweet and sour spare rib. That use that as mm-hmm. as a side dishes
mm-hmm.
on a special menu. What else would be something like that? You know, local corn, a string bean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all from local. That bean. It's way better. Seriously, all you do, put in deep fryer for 20 seconds, take it out, and quick stir fry with black bean. It's crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, it's way better than the French bean or the long bean.
The one that's like this
yeah.
long.
Yeah, the long bean.
It's fun though when
yes.
you sit. Like
but there, have you eaten their pickle form?
I don't know.
The one in a pickle form. It's the crunchiness even more.
Mm-hmm.
That's another texture. Those long beans, you need to cook for a long time with bean sauce,
mm-hmm.
bean paste.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the string bean, the local one, if you flash fry it, take the moisture out, water out of the vegetable, so they become crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
That's another example of a quick stir fry. And those long beans, you want to be kind of like a stew.
Mm-hmm.
Slow cook with small heat. So all the flavor goes in, and then the softer it gets, the better. That's my parents' favorite thing to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then another local thing is the peanuts.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Chinese food that has peanuts.
Yes, a lot. Because Chinese always say peanut we call hua sheng.
Mm-hmm.
Hua means flower. Sheng means birth. So it will make you not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say it? It stay your stomach longer, we call.
Yeah.
And then a lot like sesame noodle, kung pao chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, the shelf life is good.
Yeah.
So we use that a lot. And then the numbing spicy chicken, we crush the peanut, put on the more aroma.
Mm-hmm. Tofu.
Yes.
I'm sort of trying to get also to the bottom of this too, because when I was growing up, which was born in the late 80s, my mom said, you know, she used to give me tofu as it's a good baby kind of food, you know, and I still love it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a factory here in Atlanta that makes tofu.
Several of them.
I'm trying to figure out, like, was it in the grocery stores? Like, where or how... Was it a common thing? Like, where were people getting it? Or if in a restaurant, were you serving it? Or how, where were you finding it?
Back
were you making it?
In the 70s?
Yeah, 70s, 80s.
Oh, yeah, there's always tofu.
Was it a California health craze?
Yes, California, part of from California, part of from New York. Those are the main sources. Even today, mm-hmm. I hate to say it, the one from California and New York, the tofu are better. I mean, I love to use local ingredient,
yeah.
but the quality to making finished dish, you know what is a mapo tofu?
Oh my God, yeah.
If I use the one from New York, that brand,
mm-hmm.
it costs let's see, about, one is $1.15, one is $1.95. But the quality, the softness, the smoothness, the texture, I mean, for Northerner, texture first, flavor second.
Mm-hmm.
That texture is incredible. The consistency is always the same. The one in the local, if you use braised tofu, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The hard one, the soft one, I don't think they do a good job with it, in my opinion. But tofu is always available. I mean, we do a lot. One of the most popular appetizers will be the tofu is fried. I put a sesame and peanut, chili oil.
Mm-hmm.
Our young student, the Emory student, they order for appetizer. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
That and the string bean, same way. All I do is fry it, put on piece. The what do you call this? This wax paper. Just absorb the oil, and then on top, they take that.
See, when you're saying it was always available, where were some of the suppliers for it?
Yeah, tofu is always, but now it's because ever since we have a local tofu maker, it got cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess machines one thing, the skill is another thing, but tofu is still the big deal. But have you ever had a egg custard, real soft tofu?
Mm-hmm.
The one that come in
it's like a
tube.
That's
a popular thing right now, but there almost there's no soybean in there.
They steam. It's one you can steam. Or there's some that are like custard, like an egg.
They all you can steam them all, but this tube thing, the texture is even much softer than soft tofu.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we make it. One of the most well known would be you lightly fry with black pepper sauce.
I think I've seen that in for like what is it, like a jinjai, the stew, like kimchi stews. Like they sell like little kits. The Korean
That's a sundubu.
Sundubu.
That's
kit.
A little bit different. That's a Korean way.
Mm-hmm.
They has actually soy in there.
Okay.
The one I'm talking about is more egg. So they call egg tofu, depending on which Chinese you ask for. Those are very popular among Asian customers.
Mm-hmm.
I think American customer likes the thing that's too runny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, tofu is big. That's a big difference. Big difference. Actually, I'm not talking about during the pandemic, but before that, tofu is getting to less expensive than several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's a different story. The shipping cost.
Yeah.
Some of the brand, for the last 2 weeks, I don't have the brand that I want to buy. I have to come from this other kind of brand. Yep. You're very knowledgeable about Asian food. Seriously.
I love it so much.
You gotta come here eat sometime.
Oh, I will. It's been such a fun, eating and learning about it. Because I cook a lot, too. And so it's not just so much eating at restaurants. Now I'm like, oh, I want to make it at home. And so...
Have a portable Chinese stove.
Yeah, I'm...
It's very, very cheap.
But we also familiar with a lot of... On Beaufort Highway, and which that also was a lot of... Restaurants were shifting at the 70s and
80s. Chinese don't go to Beaufort Highway.
They go to Duluth, right? Yeah.
Because all this restaurant mainly is for people from Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to dim sum place, you'll see it's different kind of clientele. And then the one in Duluth, Gwinnett, will be new immigrant from China, for Taiwan, Singapore. It's very different. If you ever go to that grocery store called Grand China, or was that on Pleasant Hill? It's very big. Any day you go, it's packed.
Mm-hmm.
Even on Monday.
Yeah.
But that has more stuff than before that store opened. If I run out of something, I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only possible if we can get some of the spices.
Mm-hmm.
Now my chili bean paste, I bought like this, and then they ship it to me.
Is it Dubin Jia?
Yes,
Dubin
Jia. Very good. Hongyu.
Hongyu
means a chili oil, red oil.
Okay.
So they're not that salty, won't be dry easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's is the soul for
yeah.
this all the Sichuan food. And then you know that's not a soybean, that's a lava bean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So where do you see Ping Ho going in the next few years, 10 years in the future?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is it going to be family, continue tradition?
I'm not sure about my next generations. Try to train somebody. It's so hard to find people to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's every single restaurant having the dilemma, I think, right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Chinese food definitely are changing to a much more modern, better way. I'm kind of impressed, actually.
Mm-hmm.
People like it. They come here to ask for a lot of stuff, so it makes me kind of excited about
mm-hmm.
it. But I don't know. Hopefully, it's going better way. That's all I can think. I just don't wanna hear the words being Americanized. At the beginning, Chinese food during 60s, 70s, they wanna be easily for customer to accept. So they Americanized,
mm-hmm.
make it sweeter, make it more saucier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate to say it. You know, the dish is called Hunan beef.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such a dish. But it's very, very popular.
Yeah.
Very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a broccoli until I come to America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what is a cauliflower, but I never see a broccoli before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never see a baby corn either.
What, you're telling me baby corn isn't a...
Baby corn is bamboo.
Bamboo.
It's a type of bamboo. Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
But the other kind of straw mushroom, oh my God. It's a luxury item during
mm-hmm.
the 80s. But now it's okay. Now the price is much more steadier.
Mm-hmm.
But those are what they'll come. It's all kind of, it's trendy stuff.
Yeah.
The food is, you gotta go with the trend, go ups and down, you know. But you know, for a while, Korean food is Thai food, Korean
mm-hmm.
food, you know. I think Chinese is kind of like it's steady going.
Mm-hmm.
Because Chinese food people can accept much more easier.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we need to keep coming up with new, better, healthy, supposedly.
So how do you, I don't want to say fight, but how do you, between, you know, Chinese-American takeout and what you're doing, I mean, how do you navigate,
balance
it between what your customers,
yeah.
and, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of customers who want more.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, you can't, I want to do more, better, authentic dishes, but at the same time, you gotta cater what customer wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people owe more, I call some of my customers being here like 30-40 years, those old faithful customer,
mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna change what they want. You know, they come here, this is a neighborhood restaurant, they want to be comfort.
Mm-hmm.
See, my usual, get his martini, get his Mu Gai pan.
Yeah.
Right? You leave them alone. But when they come with family, Steve, I got a whole family here. Give me my thing and then bring some of your special and let them try it.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, you gotta do both ways, like a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not too much yin, not too much yang. But you don't want to be you don't want to be fair. Fair, there would be no fun. You want to be keep doing this.
That's why I appreciated having a traditional, you know, traditional menu and then the other menu.
But did you see the menu that I have? Did you see my menu? I tell them I don't categorize as beef, chicken, and shrimp. Mm-hmm. Let me show you this. Yeah. 你去尝嘛。 See, I put in the different category, like in very differently, and then if they can decide what they wanted, so create your own. I just list the sauce, and then you choose the ingredient. That will help them to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, like this, I have a English, Chinese, but I also have a Korean, because this is one of popular for Korean customer.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they try to be make everybody happy.
Yeah.
Can you give me 2 minutes?
Yeah.
They want me something to do.
Yeah. But I won't hold you up too much.
No, you're fine. You want to eat something?
I'd love to. But I don't want you have to go cook it.
I don't have that kind of microwave.
Chef Mike. No, actually, I'd love to. I can come back tomorrow. Actually, for dinner, I'll bring my come here.
Well, tomorrow, I probably will be busy. Okay. Or do you want to see some? How I cook?
Yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah.
What kind of dish do you want to see?
Well, I.
Whatever your favorite. It's fine.
I don't eat meat, but I do seafood and.
Okay.
I mean, is it to try the jjajangmyeon? Is there a meat or?
We can do a no meat version.
Do you use dry tofu? You know what that means? The dry five spice tofu?
I think so, yeah.
You use that as a meat. Same with same bean paste that I make myself. Yeah. What do you have?